Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
It was a good week. Still a lot of things we're working on, a lot of things we have to fix, but the guys are excited to play.
It's been a good week. Hope you're doing all right. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago. It's Hail Varsity Radio with you on a Thursday, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're talking about wins. Where can you find them? Come on down, Bethane Cookman. Hot off the presses. In addition to the 2018 schedule to tell you about, Bethane Cookman, welcome to Memorial Stadium. We are loaded, we are open, and we are excited to talk some Nebraska football today here on Hail Varsity Radio. Can tap the line, Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. It's Habit 466-3776, 800-825-5865. We're open this first hour for you. Can join us, can call in. We can talk Nebraska. We can talk Michigan. We can talk Adrian Martinez. We can talk Andy Staples' article on the Big Red. We can talk ESPN, FPI, and the Massey Index. There's been some reconfigured percentages handed out to Nebraska. Yeah, they're not good. And we'll get into kind of the short-term, long-term, and then, yes, Saturday. What is going to look better Saturday for Nebraska football? Find us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, or at Hail Varsity. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Here is the announcement from Nebraska Athletic Communications. Nebraska finalizing an agreement with Bethane Cookman. Where is that, Danny?
I have no idea.
That's fine. I don't either. That's why I'm asking.
I'll look it up.
I've heard of them. I know they take checks. I know Dr. Petey from Hail Varsity tweeted out it's like an $800,000 deal. So Bethane Cookman coming to town October 27th. That bye weekend you thought you had. No good. Here they come, Bethane Cookman, October 27th.
Daytona Beach, Florida.
Oh, that's my nemesis. Daytona Beach is evil. Beach, spring break.
Not a good experience for you.
1999, no thank you. That was awful. Okay, so they were replacing Akron, which is good. They currently are in the FCS. They're 1-2. They got worked by Lane Kiffin, his visor, and his back named Singletary. And they compete in the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. They were 6-2 in league play. Terry, don't call me Phil Sims, is in his fourth year. So, thank you, Bill Moose. You got Nebraska a game, and the guarantee is $800,000. Game time and TV, we'll know within that 12-day window. Go to Huskers.com for info on your Akron ticket in reference to becoming your Bethane Cookman ticket. And if you bought it from Sal, the guy on the corner, that's a you problem. Okay, let's dive into some Nebraska and Michigan. That line is now at 18.
Ooh, went back up.
It went back up. Uh-oh. And maybe the reason it went back up is because we're still trying to figure out what's going to happen with Adrian Martinez. Scott Frost earlier today with the media, and it was a record-setting under 5-minute media session, and I appreciate that about Frost. He's going to say what he's got to say. He's in, he's out. And how far along is Adrian? What do you think? Is he going to go on Saturday?
He's further along. Again, it isn't just is he ready to go. It's is he ready to go to mentally and physically to the point that he can protect himself in the game and make sure he stays healthy. So he's really close. We got to make a final decision.
And that decision will be from the medical staff, and it'll be between Adrian and Scott Frost and Coach Mario and Walters. I have thought all along he's going to play. And you have a short-term versus long-term outlook and argument. Andy Staples and his story today with Sports Illustrated. Saw him at the presser on Monday. And it's a fair question. I mean, don't rush the kid back and risk further damage. Do you risk further damage because it's against Michigan? Brendan Kavanaugh, his story yesterday with Athlon, touched on the fact that maybe till Wisconsin, which means it's a bunch of touchdowns in Michigan, and then you're hosting Purdue. You could be the first time you have a combined, dare I say, 0-7 group on primetime for BTN with Purdue, Nebraska next week at 2:30. Two teams that woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? So I guess I'm torn here. If I'm a Nebraska football fan, I want to win. I want to get off the schneid. And the way to do that is Adrian Martinez. Even with Adrian, it's a steep, steep, steep mountain. Without Adrian, don't bother climbing. I mean, is that the feel you have as a Nebraska fan? And if so, it's okay. But there are other areas besides quarterback that has screwed you so far this season. That's what we need to talk about here. Progress looks like what on Saturday? You saw a team play hard. You saw a team put themselves in position to win in week one. You saw a team act like they hadn't practiced, super focused. You had mental mistakes. You had sloppiness. You got overmanned and outpowered by Troy. In the trenches, and that's an embarrassment. As good of a staff and head coach as Troy has, and as good as Troy is with a couple of three or four guys, players, I mean, there wasn't anybody on offense that wowed you, a couple, three dudes on defense, right? You looked like that. And here's your question. Will Nebraska be better in short yardage Saturday? Don't think so. Don't know. They can put things together and maybe earn some short yardage conversions. I mean, it's not like they're the 97 black shirts they're going up against, although Michigan's pretty good. Are they going to be better on special teams? Are they going to be a freak show on special teams? Blocks in the back, clips, missed tackles. What does progress look like in short yardage? What does progress look like in special teams? What does progress look like with late hits? What does progress look like with dropped balls? What does progress look like with holding calls? You're going to have some missteps. You're going to have some penalties. But you can't help give the game away. And you've seen back-to-back weeks, right? Some key moments, that whole learning how to win. How do you finish? What's their mind going to be like? Talked about it yesterday. 466-377-6800-825-5865. We're talking progress. And you know what? Saturday, backup quarterback or not, will be... It'll be a good progress report. We'll get to the phones here in a minute. If you're there, stay there. And we'll get to you. 800-825-5865. Tom's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Tom, go ahead. Thanks for hanging.
Hey, you bet. Progress in the short running game for me would be a fullback in the backfield on second and short or third and short, especially in the red zone. Without that, I don't see us getting anything converted. If you can't make a fourth down at midfield against Colorado when you've already got 350 yards rushing, that tells me the power game is pretty weak. Thanks a lot.
Hey, appreciate it, Tom. And, yeah, I mean, the power game in this offense is going to be an issue. That's why you need a quarterback run element, right? So maybe you don't have the fullback, but you have two backs to choose from. And the only fullback option you have in Memorial Stadium is when our dear friend Joel Makavica is on the sideline or on camera. Okay? Because there aren't any fullbacks unless you give it to an H-back slash tight end. But yeah, short yardage would be nice. That's going to be key. And you don't currently have an offensive scheme or system that is set to get under center and fall forward or go power. That's just what you have traded. Doesn't mean you can't be tough. Doesn't mean you can't be a good line. But Danny, how many times have you seen Oregon in big games, and I'm talking the last 10 years, have trouble when they get in the red zone against some bigger SEC defensive lines? The power game is something that you can lift as many weights as you want. You can be quick and lean and fast and strong, but when push comes to shove, that is something that is an issue. That's a blend and a focal point that Nebraska will get to under Frost.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know, is like you said about the short yardage aspect of this game, I think it's really going to come down to how many opportunities they give to Maurice Washington, if we could circle it back around there. I think he had a great game against Troy, and mm-hmm. I think we have to keep circling in on him. Greg Bell did pretty decent, too. Divine kind of hit in the bushes a little bit compared to the first game against Colorado, where he really shined. But I think that's the only way you're really going to move this ball, especially if Martinez isn't going to be part of the picture and in the red.
And we don't know.
Right, and we don't know. And when you're speaking of red zone, yeah, it's really going to come down to, you can have all the fanciness of it, you can have all the speed, the agility, but it's going to come down to the power of it, what your line can do up front. And we know that Michigan line is a little bit weaker, but our line looked pretty bad offensively last weekend too, so that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, I mean, like the Michigan run game with Higdon, you know, I think Nebraska's defense pretty good. Michigan's going to be good with skill people. And Nebraska's defensive line should be able to be okay against the Michigan offensive line. Flip it around, though. I mean, what are you going to get from the Nebraska offensive line? Are you going to get 330? Or are you going to get what'd they run for against Troy? Less than 200? I got to look. I've got it with me. Point is, it was apples and oranges from a success rate and conversion rate and a yards per carry. We have John with us on Hail Varsity Radio. John, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, man, appreciate it. This is John Kahn from Washington, D.C.
John, what's up? How's our nation's capital?
Oh, it's a mess. It's about as bad as our offense. But, hey, here's the deal. I think you hit the nail on the head that even if Martinez plays, we got a snowball's chance and you know where to win. You know, to be honest with you, I see this year as a throwaway trash season, really. Why risk him? If we only go 1-11, as long as we beat the Chiefs heads, that's really success in my book.
Okay. Hey, appreciate it, man. Enjoy D.C. Thanks for the time. So, see, but that's – have you come to grips with that? Have you even entertained that? And I know it could happen. And we'll get to these most recent Massey and ESPN FPI numbers, like win percentage. Bethane Cookman's coming on down, and you have Illinois. There's two. Find me four more. I don't know. So success is what on Saturday? Short yarded special teams. I think they'll play better. And I'll even say this. I think if it's Bunch, he's got to be better, right? He has got to be better than he was. And he's got to be better when it comes to the play call and the scheme. And getting him comfortable has got to be better. I mean, you had a couple of first dances there. First career start. First time calling a play, putting a scheme together for him as OC, as an offensive staff. You've seen what you see in practice. Got to translate to the field. And how many times did Bunch roll right and throw picks in practice? Probably not a lot. Maybe some. I don't know. But it was not good for either party. So he's got to be a little bit better. But don't ask him to win it. But don't put him in position to lose it.
I don't think it'll shock me if he's not better, though. I think we're overlooking playing in the big house, though, for a third-string quarterback here.
I'm more worried. See, I don't care about their venue. They're weak. They lose at home. They have. That's their fan base. They are not, and it's a lot. This ambiance of 100,000 roaring crazy people, great, man. But I've been to a Michigan tailgate. They have caviar. All right, they aren't. There's no neck tattoos and no one putting a cigarette on their tongue. It ain't going down. It ain't going to Boulder. Okay, it's not going to Death Valley. It's not. They're a lot like Texas. It's country club, man. It is. Nebraska gets loud and crazy, and the place will shake. There is passion. Michigan, I think there's passion there too. But it is straight up country club. It's going to be the 11 dudes on defense that make things a real headache. It's got nothing to be. Might be loud, and it might be difficult, but Michigan is by far less of an intimidating road venue. I promise you that. More of your thoughts and calls. Hail Varsity continues.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
466-377-6800-825-5865-466-3776. We'll get to some of your tweets at Schmidt underscore radio at Danny Burke. Follow us as I got an open hour for you. We're talking Nebraska football and progress looks like what on Saturday. And we just listed a laundry list of things culturally, though. And John from Washington, D.C. brought it up, throwaway year. Has that entered into your mind frame that, yeah, it's going to be a throwaway year? And I don't see it as a throwaway year. It may look that way with the total tally of wins and losses. And guilty, brother, as saying that they could get to 8 this year. I just thought, despite their schedule, here, let me explain myself. I thought that they would be better and ramp up, and they still could and will, I think. They'll get better. I just don't know that they're going to win. And you're trying to take and apply Orlando to Lincoln, right? They still went 6-7 in Orlando in year one. And you took over a horrible, horrible 0-4 program, right? What is going on right now is you're undoing a culture of just being very, very casual. And you're undoing a certain type of leadership style where it was 1,000% dependent on self-motivation. Where if you got guys, and I'm going to use two dudes that I think are super talented and locked in, Rex Burkhead and Jeremiah Searles, they want to be great. Amir Abdullah wants to be great. They're lifting weights on Friday night, okay? They want to be great. They want to win. That's one example. And the other example is they want to enjoy being a part of the team and the perks that come with the team. There's lots of cool perks that I imagine come with being a Nebraska football player. But what's your priority? Do you want to be a football player or are you a football player? Does that make sense? Do you want to be a guy that, yeah, I'm part of the team. I'm going to run out there on Saturday. Some hottie down at the rail might wink at me. Then he's like, Schmidt, you're old. You're not allowed on rail property. So that's what I'm saying. And you, and the shift is very real, and it's got to happen. And that is part of the growing pain. That is part of the sloppiness. That it all translates when everything is like lockstep and same page. That's where you get consistency. That's where you have all 11 hauling ass to go get a punt returner tackled versus 9 of the 11 hustling to run down the punt returner. And Scott Frost was asked about it from a culture standpoint. And the building part of this, that it's going to be a while. And while it may look like a throwaway, and I don't like that term because there's teaching and coaching and improvement that will go on, it may just look very, very, very bad. And you had some starts like this. I mean, what was miraculous, and I go back to Bo, because you're coming off a 5-7 season, but clearly a lot of NFL talent on it. I'm going from 07 to 08, right? Well, at one point they were 3-3, and they started out against some teams that were really tough. And you saw how they finished. I mean, they finished 9-4 and beat Clemson, Dabo's first year. I mean, you saw them ramp up, and then that cranked up expectations. There were a lot of unfair expectations because a winner who gets this place came in and was expected to replicate, not to the tune of unbeaten, but yo-yos like me talking 8-4. And I look at the talent, but I also look at some of the infrastructure, and the culture is part of that, where no one's been named, but you're talking about meetings and you're talking about eating together and what's important to you. Is it important to throw some beers, enjoy the high life? Oh, we almost beat Colorado. It's my thought bubble, not that I ever played or I'm part of the team, but the we. To, screw it, it's just Troy. To now, it's going to get real, it's Michigan. And they will harm you. Here's the culture part talked about and answered by Frost today at the presser.
It doesn't happen overnight. This Thursday, I hope it's not anywhere near as good as next Thursday and Thursdays down the road. But we're continuing to improve, and that's all we can do.
So I think he's getting wore out by some of the questions. I think he's getting wore out by, what was it bad today? How is it? Like the media dudes are great here in this state. So I'm not shooting them or throwing stones at them. I think he's just tired of the, well, is it going to be good soon? And I think the reality is no. He'll see it as a coach. Position coaches will see it. And you'll see it on Saturday if they kind of got their bleep cleaned up, where there's fewer penalties, they're better on short yardage, they're not making stupid plays. That's it. That's what you're waiting on. Got a tweet in here from M. Urban. And I was asking, we were talking about Michigan fan base. Is it a tough venue to go play in? It's a lot of people, and I'm sure it can get loud. But is it intimidating? Is the question. How venomous is it? And Memorial Stadium's loud and people are passionate, but there's a current losing streak going on there. I mean, it's 20 years removed from being a place nobody wants to visit. You'll get clapped off the field, which is fine, but more times than not, you have won on that field. So Urban tweets in, would Creighton be a similar fan base to Michigan? No neck tats and cigs put out with their tongue. Just sweaters and fine wine. Full disclosure, pharmacist Jeff went to Creighton for his pharmacy degree. So I've gone to a few Creighton events with him. It's been years. The last time I was at a Creighton game where we could have a cocktail, I think Billy Gillespie was coaching Kentucky before another DUI. They ran his ass out of the Commonwealth. And it was the NIT. That tells you how long ago it's been since I've been to a Creighton game, right? The Kentucky Wildcats basketball program was in the NIT.
Jeez.
Right? I mean, that's probably like 15, 16 years, isn't it?
It's got to be at least.
Fred tweeted this in earlier, at @Schmidt_radio, @DannyBurke5, and this is in reference to the Andy Staples article I retweeted. And, you know, Nebraska going to take their lumps this year. Andy Staples saying, don't be surprised if Adrian's not quarterbacking Saturday because of the big picture versus the small picture. view you got to have on program building, and you heard it with Scott Frost, doesn't happen overnight. And this I think is comforting, and this is the attitude that you got to have, but this is the attitude that I think you as a Nebraska fan, a lot of you do have, and I think you're going to hold to it. You're very understanding now, and you should be understanding forever with this coach, because he's going to get it fixed, and he'll get it right, and he'll win, and he'll do it in an Osborne way, in a Frost way. They'll be good again. And you just got to let that timeline happen. And I think you will, because he's one of your own. Huge difference, right? But Fred said this about as good as you could on Twitter. Huskers may lose more games, but the pain of a listless program is long gone. It's going to get better. It's just the rehab phase right now. That's really kind of sunk in, and that's the best comparison I can give you. Not that I've experienced it ever, but it is a lot like rehab. Sometimes the first, second, third, eighth, 12th, 15th time doesn't make it happen for you. And you're always walking by that bar from relapsing. That's kind of where they're at. They're starting square one. Frost was asked about Tyshawn Lindsey, because special teams have been an issue. Your starting field position has sucked. Your kicking game has not pinned anybody. And someone asked about Tyshawn Lindsey. You know, when's he going to get going? And Frost, again, is going big picture.
Listen, I'm not going to talk too much about individuals. He's got a ways to go, just like a lot of other guys. There's got to be attention to detail. There's got to be effort from a lot of guys. There's got to be more desire to be perfect in practice from a lot of guys. We're continuing to get that fixed, but you know, if you guys are waiting for me to talk about what's wrong with any individual player, I'm never going to throw one guy under a bus.
Good. But that's the question turned around. Is it important enough to you as a player to put the effort and time in to try and be as perfect as you can be? Or is good enough? The old cookie monster, and this was my motto too long for too many years in college, C is for cookie, it's good enough for me. To get that C, let's pass that class. Versus like selling out to be excellent. That's part of maturing. That's kind of how you're wired. And there comes to a point where there's personal satisfaction, where you have your own standard. It's way better and higher than anybody else's on you. That's what they're trying to get figured out. That's part of the whole culture thing. And guess what? If you're just okay with just doing the bare minimum, or it's a certain level, but you know it, you can go a lot faster, then they're going to continue to get their ass kicked this year. And you're going to have more Troy games. What's going to change it is what Tanner Farmer said earlier, and you saw on social media from Hail Varsity. It's going to take the older guys kind of imposing some of their will. This is how you do it. This is what you do. Or it's going to take some other sort of leadership, peer leadership. And it's going to take some guys to finally lose their mind and are sick of losing, and bring everybody live with, or they thin the herd some more. You already have 53 different dudes on the roster. They just got to get that Riley out of their vein. That Club Med Paradise mentality. Again, I don't know if it's Creighton fan, but it reminds me of Texas fan, and you'll see it if you tailgate in Michigan. Where it is, it's a gathering, not a football game. 466-3776.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Always love my sibling input. Uncle Donkey letting me know that C's do get degrees. C's get degrees. Open phone for you here the rest of this hour. 466-377-6800-825-5865. And something we started off with, progress looks like what on Saturday against Michigan? And you put yourself in the old headset of Scott Frost. Do you start Adrian? I haven't asked you, Danny. What do you do? If he's cleared, do you play him? If he's cleared, I play him. I know Wisconsin's around the corner. I know that you got Perdon't coming in. And you're looking for six. You're looking for six to go to a bowl. You're looking for six because that's what Nebraska does. You're looking for six because it gets 15 more practices. Because all the dudes that you got this last recruiting class, those are the guys you're going to want because they are of a similar mindset and cultural buy-in that you have and want. Just is. They know coming in what you are about versus the inherited and changing some minds. We just talked about that last segment. But Thane Cookman is in for the 27th of October. So it's not technically a bye week, but it might still be. Illinois is still coming to Lincoln. That's two. Because you're not counting Saturday. Next Saturday is a coin flip. Wisconsin, they've already lost. They got to go play Iowa this weekend. They could have two losses and really be pissed off. Northwestern, I think they're beatable. Totally think they're beatable with whoever's playing quarterback. And there we go. So should we get to the reconfigured win percentage model? All right. So the Massey Index and the College Football Power Index, they have their probability algorithms. Think of that special sauce Henry Hill made in Goodfellas. It was so delicious before the FBI busted him for narcotics trafficking. It looked good. It looked good at the beginning of the year. Now numbers have dropped by between 20 and 40% from the win total. And yes, the projected likelihood. What are your win? What's your loss percentage? Right? What do you say here for Michigan? It's been reconfigured. Danny, do you have a guess? Don't cheat.
Our win percentage for Michigan? Just Michigan? Okay.
Oh, I'm going down the list
okay,
here.
Okay.
I mean, right now we need to be playing Lloyd Christmas. So, you're telling me there's a chance.
I'm going to say it's at 26%.
You're freaking high. I'm going to drug test you. Right now, the Massey Index says Nebraska has a 10% chance 10. To beat Michigan.
I was going
to
say 18, but I thought that'd maybe be a little low.
That'd be too
but I guess,
kooky because the line's at 18.
Right. I don't know. Well, I guess that, too. I didn't think about that. I guess they're really banking on Adrian not playing. Because I think with Adrian, it still would be a like, if you're for sure Adrian's in, it would at least be 15%, I think.
He's going to up you. What you got? And I'm going to go through these.
Okay.
You grab on and there'll be a twinkle in your eye about calling your guy down the hall to make a wager. Right now, the Massey Index says Nebraska has a 10% chance to beat Michigan. ESPN FPI says 5.5%. Purdue, at the beginning of the year, it was a 50-50 ball game. It's now 44%. Nebraska wins at home against Purdue per the Massey Index. 51.6% that Purdue wins in Lincoln based on what ESPN FPI says. At Wisconsin, 5% chance per the Massey Index. FPI, 8.6. 26% chance you beat Northwestern on the road. 28.8 says ESPN. This is the one that is a slap, knee, kick, and speed bag to the groin. Minnesota. Nebraska has a 37% chance to beat Minnesota per the Massey Index. And a 37.9 per FPI.
At home.
At at freaking home. Who the hell's their quarterback? They lost their best running back. Really? And again, man, I have this vision and image of Nebraska continuing to, like, stack blocks and get better. And they may. But if they're going to be ultra cautious all year on Adrian, at some point you got to put him back in or just take him off. He's not so injured that he can't return to action. There's got to be a jumping off point. But it's going to be hard, even if Bunch gets better. And this quarterback group is known for developing people. There's only so much he can do. You're just going to get wild inconsistency. Watch him go like Joey Gans v. Texas and kill it Saturday. Moving on, Ohio State, there's a 2% chance Nebraska beats Ohio State.
I buy it.
There's a 2.4% chance Nebraska beats Ohio State for ESPN. Now, here's where you can feel good. Danny, here's where you put all the chips on the Big Red when Nebraska hosts Lovey and the Illini.
What are we at, like?
72% chance.
I was going to put it in the 60s.
But that dropped from an 80%. 67% for ESPN. Michigan State's down to 24% that Nebraska beats Sparty, and it's less. It's 15% with ESPN. I will end it with this. What's the Iowa number?
It's going to be 32%. No, actually, it's going to be lower than that. It's going to be like 24%.
I just had it right here. Eight.
Jeez.
8% chance. That's it. 8 and a 12. Call your friends in Vegas. Physics. I was bad at it, but you know what? It applies wherever you're at in a vehicle. If you're traveling, you're going the same speed as the vehicle, even if you're on your keister. And when that vehicle stops abruptly, it's hard to stop your body. You crash. Your body will continue moving forward, and something's got to give. Airbags sometimes aren't enough. If you wear that seatbelt, though, it keeps you from going through the windshield and prevents excessive injury. Your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. Seatbelts do it. Whether you're in the back seat, whether you're in the driver's seat, or whether you're in the passenger seat, buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Do we have time to squeeze in this caller, Danny, or do we want to hang on and hold on? All right. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. Next hour, Gary Barnett, he'll talk about backup quarterbacks on the road and the time his Buff group threw beers after a loss on the airplane. He was unhappy. Bill Bender, we did some reshuffling. Bill Bender is coming up at 5:25. Our favorite cornerback, Ralph Brown, had to reschedule. So we'll get Ralph on the horn here in the near future. Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, 10 minutes away, Gary Barnett, Bill Bender next hour. Let's get Pete in here real quick. Pete, thanks for calling and hanging on. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good, man. What's new?
Oh, I just wanted to bring up maybe a little different point of view. You know, I think going away on away game might be good for the team. If you notice, it's been different aspects of the game as far as the mistakes. Started out with the tailbacks, quarterbacks. Now it's punt return. I think they'll get it cleaned up. And I really think by the end of the year we'll see a much better team. What the win or loss is, who knows. But I think we'll be a much better team. And I think next year we'll have a good shot competing. We got to have patience. Mm-hmm. Us Nebraska fans, we just want everything right now. Have some patience. Have faith. We had all the faith in the world in Scott Frost. Now in two games, everybody's kind of lost it. What's going on?
Pete, I don't know who you're bumping into. I don't think, and thanks for the phone call, I don't think folks are moving out on Frost. I think they're just surprised at the results. It no way reflects like there shouldn't be fear just because things have gone. This has been crazy. Transfer, act of God, injury.
It's like Murphy's
backup
law.
Quarterback. Right? I mean, it's been screwy. It was a voodoo doll. At least Chip the Buffalo got shot in the groin, though. That was kind of funny. With the old air cannon.
Mm-hmm.
So Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, there's a poll up on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Fighting Browns of Cleveland tonight. We'll call them Rob Kelly's Browns. Against the Northeast Nebraska New York Jets Football Club. With Quincy and Spencer and Koala Bear up there with the Jets, and Darnold. Who wins first? That's your poll question on the ESPN Twitter handle. The Browns or the Huskers? That's very, very cynical. and quite rude. But it's a fair question, makes you think, and you don't want to go too far. Because a lot of you say Cleveland's due. So's Nebraska. But not against Michigan. Are you betting Cleveland or are you betting Nebraska? Who wins first?
I am 100% on board with the Browns. I've been tweeting out death taxes and the Cleveland Browns losing. No, they're not. I just see a good opportunity when I see one.
See a way to make money when I...
Exactly. The Cleveland Browns at home, -3 over the Jets. Give me that all day, all night long. The Huskers, they're playing Michigan. They're not going to get that dub. And next week, if the Browns lose and then we go to next week, I don't know who the Browns play, but I do have confidence in Nebraska beating the Boilermakers.
I think so. We're going to be down at the Graduate, 9th and P, home football Fridays, back at it. Come on down. I have a Boilermaker, wear the sea bass floatable vest and trucker hat. We'll all have a Boilermaker together. Remind you about our friends at Madonna Proactive. Been going there the last few nights. Really just an amazing facility. 56 and Pine Lake Road. Fall membership special going on. Get signed up today with Madonna Proactive. You get signed up before September is gone. $100 gift card, and you bring anyone with. If you're a member and you get anyone else signed up, how about a $50 gift card? 402-420-0000. Over 130 classes offered. Hammer strength machines, cardio equipment, 3 pools, basketball courts, pickleball, and they have some kickboxing that's rocking. That's awesome. Log on today, madonna.org, and stop by 56th and Pine Lake Road. Hour 2, Gary Barnett next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Few minutes, Gary Barnett with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Talk some college football, Northwestern and Colorado. Coach, how's your week?
My week was good. My putting was poor, but I had a good, fun time of golf in New Jersey, Pine Valley.
Good for you. That sounds like a plan. Coach, I want your take here on quarterback treatment, that being how you handle an injury situation. And Coach Frost today, not sure what's going to happen. Adrian Martinez is close, but that's all he'd say. Nebraska heads to Michigan. How did you treat a similar situation if you were faced with it?
Well, I think it depends on where you are and your stint. If you're like Scott is right now and he's just getting started, Martinez is going to be his quarterback for the next 4 years, so he doesn't want to do anything to jeopardize that and upset family members, which is always a possibility. And so he's just in that situation because he doesn't have a backup scholarship quarterback, where he's got to be, I think, real careful at this point in time that he doesn't push Martinez back too soon. And, of course, in his situation, that leaves him with the backup quarterback, and they've just got to live with it if that's the case.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, jumping on a plane here, so he's kind enough to give us a few minutes. So you've had a couple of different year ones. You had the return to Colorado, and you had that first year. You had when you took over a program at Northwestern, and you shifted a culture. What do you think Coach Frost is going through right now? No one expected 0-2. It's been a weird, wacky year. And he's been rolling with the punches. I mean, he's establishing the culture. He's trying to change how things are done, but it takes some time. And count me guilty as one that thought he could come in and not win at a crazy level, but win, right? Win early. And that's avoided, that's been out of the Nebraska grasp so far this year.
Well, it's very similar to when I came to Colorado, more so than going to Northwestern. Nobody really cared what I did at Northwestern, but when I came into Colorado, I inherited a pretty good team, and everybody, in fact, one sports announcer said we'd probably go to the national championship game. Well, you know, my style and the kids' style and what they were used to, it didn't just automatically mix. And we ended up losing our first game, and I mean, we got almost blown out in our first game against a rival. So, you know, things just have to learn how to work together. And new coaches have to learn how to work with existing players. And it just doesn't happen the way you think it does. And just having one guy come in and start to change the culture, that doesn't change it. All that does is initiate the beginnings. And that's what happened with me. I couldn't change. You can't change that culture or create your culture from the time that you get there in January till the time you play your first season. So part of it was I had to learn where our problems were, and I didn't learn what our problems were until about halfway through our season. So it takes time. It's a process, and it always takes longer than most people want.
Did it wear you out, or were you ready for it?
Oh, I wasn't ready for it. I don't think you're ever ready for it. It wears you out, but you got to put your head down, and you know you're doing the right things, and you just got to make it. Every day you're going to find out something new, and you just have to wake up in the morning and go, okay, what is it that we're going to get today, and get ready and find the solution, and that's the life of a coach. But they're like waves. They're going to keep coming. They're not stopping. You don't get a nice, clear, flat ocean. You know, you're going to always get waves and problems and come at you that way, and you just got to solve them one at a time as they come in.
Coach, could you get specific? What were some things that you didn't expect that happened? And, I mean, don't get too graphic or personal if you don't want. I'm just wondering, the day in the life of Gary Barnett, year one at Colorado, what was a surprise that would show up?
Well, we lost a game at Texas Tech. And, I mean, I couldn't believe we lost the game. And then, when I met with my seniors, I had 25 seniors. I mean, we should have had a good team. And they said to me, he says, you know, I said, what happened? This is Thursday after the game. He says, I don't know, you know. And he says, it was a goofy coaching, you know, with, we were drinking on the plane after the game. Normally only do that on wins. I said, what? So, I mean, this was the culture that they were used to. They were used to having their way. And they're used to being able to celebrate like that on a plane coming home after a win. And so that was a whole culture. That was a shock to me. I my mouth hit the floor. In fact, I said words I shouldn't have said. And so, guess what? We had to dig in and find a way to solve that problem. And we did. We put a coach on every row. We made them check all their luggage underneath the plane until we got rid of that kind of attitude. And I'm not saying that's what God has at all. I'm just saying that was one of my experiences. And that's one of the problems that comes up. And there were a number of them. You know, they wanted to have a plastic bag to stretch on, because it was wet sometimes when they wanted to stretch on the ground. Are you kidding me? No, we're not going to do that. So it was one thing after another, and you just wake up in the morning and go, okay, what's coming at me today?
Drinking on the plane. Well, we usually only do it after, wow.
Only after a win, usually, but this one they did after a loss. So I fixed that real quick.
Jeez.
And, they're always one step ahead of you, though.
Gary Barnett's with us. A few more minutes, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, what do you know about Harbaugh in Michigan and Don Brown? That's kind of been the buzz this week, is Michigan's offense might have their quarterback, question marks about the O-line, but the real task will be finding a way to crack that Michigan D.
Well, yeah, I think that's your challenge. Offensively, Michigan doesn't pose a lot of different not a lot of stuff. I mean, they're good. Patterson helps them, I suppose, but I actually thought the other kid looked better in that game when he came in when Patterson got hurt a little bit. But in the game I watched with Notre Dame is the one I'm referring to. But defensively, I think Michigan is really good. And so Nebraska's got to be spending their time trying to figure out how to move the ball in that defense because it's really good.
It is. And it won't be any easier. I think Nebraska's hope may, because of the risk reward with that aggressiveness, is to hit some big plays, but you got to score off of them. And there's just not, from a fan base standpoint, and coaches can roll their eyes at that, and I totally get that, but you feel better from a big play standpoint with Adrian Martinez in there because he's shown the ability to do it. But you've had to start backup quarterbacks before. How do you reassess after maybe a roller coaster ride to get them ready for a second start if you do have to play that backup?
Well, you know, they just – the first time they play, everything seems so fast to them, even if they practice with the first team and all that in practice, but it's not the same. Game speed is twice the speed of practice speed. And so the second time out, they're going to be better than the first time because they at least have an idea of game speed and how fast windows close at the quarterback spot. But I had to do that. I had to do walk on quarterback 2 weeks in a row. You know, one was at Baylor and the other one was at Florida State, which was really a lot of fun. But he was better. You know, Eric Greenberg was better in the second game than he was the first game because he knew what to expect. It wasn't so much of a surprise for him.
Are you shocked about UCLA's start? I know that's who the Buffs have this weekend, and Florida State's start. Touch on, because those are the other two programs that folks are keying on. Folks, I mean national people, along with Nebraska, and I think the Nebraska, the narrative is, okay, things will get turned around, Frost will be all right, but they're really surprised by Florida State's start, and they thought maybe things would be a little bit better for Chip Kelly.
Well, Buffs play them next week. They've got to buy this
gotcha.
Week. We play them next Friday, and I'm not too surprised because he didn't have a quarterback, and when I saw that he was starting Spate, the kid from Michigan, in his offense, it's just not a mix. And last week I saw he started the other young freshman and has got some issues with that, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too surprised. Chip's been out of that college ranks for a while, and you just don't jump back in it. You know, I mean, the demands and what do you expect and what you get in the pro ranks compared to college, it's two different places completely. I'm not too surprised. I'm not too surprised at Florida State. I think that program has been sliding downhill for the last couple of years. And I think Willie probably Taggart inherited one that was already on a pretty much of a downslide, and he's going to have to reverse that. And it's going to take him a couple of years to do that for sure. I don't care what kind of players you've got around you right now. That's a culture I think has got to be changed as well.
Why do you think it was sliding?
Well, I mean, you just look at Jimbo Fisher's last couple of years, and they were all way under expectations.
Yeah.
And I think you could just see that. I mean, it's since they had Winston, you know, they just haven't been the same kind of team.
Coach, we'll hit some rapid fire before we let you go. And a thought here on, can I call them your Missouri Tigers? Or is there, you played
sure,
for them, okay?
Sure.
Your Missouri
sure.
Tigers, you were right. That was a shootout with Purdue. And Purdue's sitting kind of where Nebraska's at, and they got Boston College coming in. But Georgia heads to Columbia. What do you think of that one?
Well, you know, I think that's a 10 o'clock start. And that's really weird for Missouri. You know, Missouri, they're really good in every position except probably the secondary. And they've got to hide that. They've got to find some way to help that secondary a little bit. And, I mean, that's the biggest issue. They're going to move the ball on most people, and they're good on offense, and the quarterback's a heck of a player. two of the better quarterbacks in the country, you know, this week playing in that game. But they've got to find a way to shore up and help that secondary a little bit, either by putting more pressure on them and forcing that ball to be thrown quicker, or to give them some help and only rush three. But I know they're disappointed in their pass rush, and that they've got to get some pressure on this quarterback, I think, in order to have a chance. So this is a tough game for Missouri. I think they're a 14-point underdog, and I think that's about right. Mm.
What about the number is now at 18 for Nebraska, Michigan? That seem high? Does that seem right?
Man, I happen to think Nebraska is better on defense than they're getting credit for, but I think 18's high against a team that is not very good on offense. Yeah, I think that's probably six to seven points high.
All right. TCU, man, they were incredible. I know they didn't beat Ohio State, but they looked phenomenal. They're fast. They're physical. They're at Texas. That's minus three TCU at Texas.
Yeah, I think TCU, you know, they just, something happened. That thing, game snapped. They got out of hand. They were going to win that game, and you're right. They're fast. They can play. They're good on defense. In no game does Gary Patterson want to win more than University of Texas. So I'm going TCU all the way.
Yeah, it's an understatement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stanford, Oregon. Oregon's unbeaten. Stanford is going to have their magnificent tailback back, Love. Stanford's minus two.
Yeah, that one's the hardest one for me to pick this week. But as a friend of mine says, always take the dog if it's a home field. So I think Oregon's the dog, and they're minus or plus two, so I would go with Oregon in this game.
How about Wisconsin getting stung by BYU?
Unbelievable.
Right? I mean, BYU's got some dudes that can play. I think their quarterback that threw the Hail Mary against Nebraska 3 years ago, he's still playing.
Mangum. Yeah,
he's a good ball player. And Wisconsin, I don't know, they're 2-1 now. Iowa hasn't looked overly impressive on offense, but their D's good. Tough one at Kinnick. What happens here? Wisconsin's minus three.
Yeah, Wisconsin's got to win this game. They've got to bounce back if they're going to have any chance. They're still in it for the playoffs, but they have to win this game, obviously, and they have to win almost all of them from here on, and it starts with Iowa. So I think Wisconsin wins this one.
Washington hosting Herm and Arizona State. I think that number is almost 18 for the Huskies.
I think that's a little high. I think the Sun Devils are a pretty good football team, and I think they're a pretty good defensive team. I think that's probably 8 points high. I'm looking forward to that game. We play both those two teams in the real near future, so I'm looking forward to that one.
Last thought, the Pirate tomorrow night, they're getting plus 4.5 at USC.
Yeah, you know, I just saw an interesting article that said take the Pirate, and I'm not so sure. USC sure didn't look good, but I gotta go with SC in this game. I just think there's too much talent on the field.
Yep.
They've got to put it to use.
Well, then they may be a little hacked off as well after last weekend in Austin.
Yeah.
Gary Barnett with his coach. Have a good flight. We'll catch up down the road. Thanks again.
Thanks, Chris. Talk to you later.
Gotta love Barney from the airport. Good stuff. Bill Bender. We'll revisit 97 and talk about Saturday. Bill Bender of the Sporting News with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk Nebraska, Michigan with the sporting news. Bill Bender had an awesome story about what could have and would have happened, depending on who you root for in 1997. Bill, thanks for a few minutes. How are you doing this week?
No, yeah, and thanks for having me on. That was a fun story. You were one of the first people I thought of. I do a lot of hits in Nebraska, and the passion that side has for it, and obviously the passion Michigan fans have for it, it lent itself to a pretty easy story. I mean, that was when I was growing up, and I just wanted to see how both sides felt.
Well, I was just starting out at the university, and it was even before I got into broadcasting, and that's the old last family vacation the Schmitz took together was down to the Orange Bowl to see T.O. off, and man, it was pretty crazy. And just remember that night when Nebraska found out the coaches' poll came through and Nebraska won their share of the championship. But back and forth, I mean, it's that way. And I have friends in Michigan. They swear by their 97 team. And I liked how you ended the story, Bill, with a way each team and fan base could smile. Yeah, Woodson making a play on Frost or Frost making a play on Woodson.
Yeah, and it really was. Like, I talked to several former players and personalities around it. And, you know, I got the sense from the Nebraska side that there was a lot of confidence that they would have, not dismissiveness of Michigan, but just that they felt like they were rolling at the right time. You know, and for those that are around now, I didn't think of it this way till I talked to Lars Anderson, where, you know, Nebraska was literally a couple plays away from five straight national championships. And that's kind of where Alabama is now. You know, you think of Alabama now, that's how we kind of thought of Nebraska from that stretch from maybe 93 until Tom Osborne retired.
Bill Bender's with us, Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter at BillBender92. Lars is a dear friend. And, yeah, I mean, he was pretty locked into to Nebraska, what he was doing with Sports Illustrated. You know what's funny is I know Coach McBride, Nebraska's defensive coordinator, spent quite a bit of time with Nick Saban, and Saban was at Michigan State in 95 and 96 when Nebraska played those guys, and there's a lot of what Osborne and company did down in Alabama when it comes to kind of that Nebraska blueprint. Obviously, Saban's got incredible talent, but there's a bit of Nebraska in that that Alabama infrastructure, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing, you know, that I sense from Nebraska, the Nebraska side anyway, is it's not, I don't think it was a disrespect towards Michigan. I think it was more of a, remember at the time, Big 8 fans and Big 12 fans didn't really care about the Big 10, right? You didn't follow the Big 10 religiously. Like, I think that was more of a Big 10 and Pac-12 thing with the Rose Bowl, or Pac-10 at the time. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't, well, I think Nebraska fans almost look at Michigan as, oh, they had Woodson, but they, you know, didn't have very good offense. And then Michigan fans look at it as, well, all Nebraska did was run the option, and we had this defense that allowed 9.8 points per game. And it is truly the one, at least from my, in my opinion, it's the one matchup we didn't get to see that I would have liked to see. And I know Penn State, Nebraska 94 is another one, but I think this Michigan-Nebraska one would have been more fun.
You know, it would have been, and just kind of looking at the schedules, Tennessee and Peyton Manning, very, very talented. A lot of NFL dudes on that roster. An 11-1 K-State team that was a year away from, I know they got beat by A&M in the Big 12 title game a year later, but they were your number one team for much of 1998. Corby Jones in Missouri, very, very talented. That's the game that you can either penalize Nebraska or credit Nebraska for finding a way to win. People still send thank you cards to Matt Davidson for that. And then an A&M win in the Big 12 championship game, Nebraska playing the extra game. The thing that I look at Michigan, though, common opponent was Colorado. Colorado faded that year and finished 5-6, as did Washington. I think they finished 6-6. That was Nebraska's marquee win, but a really good Washington team at the beginning of the year. Penn State faded, and 9-3 is still a great record, but they weren't top five by the end of the year. Ohio State's kind of the team I look at. They finished 10-3, but they had an early win on the road at Missouri. When you look at common opponent, I don't know how great Notre Dame was in 97. I still think they were an Orange Bowl team, but it was a far cry from those early 90s Holtz teams. And the Iowa game is kind of the near miss that Michigan had. That was a nail-biter for them, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're sizing up the schedules, I do think Michigan played a better schedule because that Ohio State team was really good. You know, Penn State was a one, you know, a very highly publicized game in Happy Valley that still talk about, that they went in there and won. But on the flip side, I mean, Nebraska dominated just about everybody they played. They had a nail-biter, too. Every team does, though. I mean, I don't look at that so much as then you get into the bowl games and, You know, I will say this. People just assume, I think they penalized Ryan Leaf for his NFL career. That Washington State team is pretty good. They can throw it around. And, of course, you know, Peyton Manning, Nebraska just destroyed them. And I really believe that is what led to the split. Not, I know people will say on the Michigan side, well, they just gave it to Osborne. I think it's the fact that they blasted Tennessee with Peyton Manning and, like you said, a team full of NFL guys that led to the split. Had that final score been, you know, 27-23 and real tight and Peyton hung around, I do think Michigan might have won both.
I think you're right. I think Nebraska, the way they dismantled Tennessee, I mean, it was, I think, a 14-3 ball game at half, and then Nebraska and Amon Green and the offensive line just went off, and the offense was stagnant for Tennessee. A question I have with you about the 97 Nebraska team is two of the guys you talked to in the story. Makovic is a friend and a guy that comes on my show quite a bit, as does Wistrom. And did you just get kind of a, you know, we wouldn't lose it for Coach Osborne, we had to send him out the right way? Was that kind of the tone when you spoke with him?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that, I think one of the coolest stories Makovic had told me was, as you guys know there, his older brother played at Nebraska, and he said, you know, guys, I get chills thinking about this, because he had said he had guys calling him and, you know, telling him how jealous they were that they weren't playing in Tom Osborne's final game. And you know what Tom Osborne means to that community, to that university, to that state. And just the emotion, I'm sure, that was pouring through that locker room afterward. And, you know, everybody remembers Scott Frost's speech at the end of the game. And, you know, I remember where I was that night. And I said, I'm a Central Ohio kid, and I'm sitting around with my buddies. And I said, yeah, they're probably going to split. You know, just by halftime, I was thinking that. And in the sense that they everybody's still a national champion and treats it that way. And I know they didn't get to play, but I do think there's an underlying respect between the two schools that you'll see a little bit. That's what Scott Frost said at Media Day, right? He said, I know a lot of people in Michigan don't like me, but I've always respected that program. And, you know, he'll get a few boos on Saturday when he walks in the big house, but I think some of that's born out of respect.
Do you have a theory on the three coaches that voted Michigan, I think, below third? That's what kind of had to happen. There's three or four coaches that one may have even voted Michigan fifth. And I know Lloyd Carr could have voted Nebraska third, fourth, or fifth and helped his cause, but he voted appropriately as he saw it, with Nebraska being number two. Coach Osborne did not have a coach's vote that year. And Phil Fulmers denied it. John Cooper said, no, I didn't hose Michigan. I'm wondering, those are two suspects, right? But if you're Lou Holtz, I'm wondering.
Yeah, I'm guessing Cooper wouldn't have done anything out of the ordinary. I do think that also takes me back to a time where that mattered so much, right? The coaches pool and the AP pool. And, you know, I think the AP pool is a great thing, because people always say polls don't matter. Well, I always use it as a barometer to, you know, kind of like a stopwatch. And in the writers that cover the sport, it does matter. You know, and but I think since we've moved up to the college football playoff era, it does seem like once the first playoff rankings come out, that becomes the most important thing, right? We concentrate so much on the playoff rankings once that, for the TV show. And people that complain about the TV show, you're just wrong, because that's exactly what they want to do, to create and drive interest, and it works.
It does. Bill Bender's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Bender 92 Sporting News. Great work with college football for a number of years. Bill, and switch to Saturday. Adrian Martinez is close, but that's not a yes, he's starting, from Scott Frost earlier today. The lines anywhere between 17 and 21, Nebraska's 0-2. What do you think of Saturday? I know the quarterback's a big question mark, but do you think Nebraska will play better? They played pretty awful against Troy.
I think their defense could give Michigan some problems. Michigan's offensive line hasn't been great. Nebraska's been able to get after the passer. I think without Martinez, it's a tough assignment against that Michigan defense because they're fast. They blitz a lot. They've been really good. With Martinez, more interesting game. I thought the spread was too high off the jump anyway. I think I predicted Michigan 27, Nebraska 17, and that probably would hold up with or without Martinez. With Martinez, maybe a little bit closer, but I'm not worried about Scott Frost long term. I think, you know, they were real exciting that first half against Colorado, and he'll keep them playing hard. And I look for them to be playing their best football in the second half of the season and really build into the, you know, where they'll win some games. The hard part is their crossover schedule is absolute murder. Mm-hmm. I mean, playing Michigan State, Ohio State, it's tough.
Yeah, they host Sparty, the other crossover. Obviously, they're in Ann Arbor this weekend, and yeah, it's Ohio State. I think they'll get better. It just may not come in the form of wins and losses, but they'll look more like that first half of the Colorado game for a complete game. But they just, yeah, they took a big-time step back. We'll see how the offensive line is. Bill, about 30 seconds, bud. What other game are you kind of keying in on this weekend?
You know, I'll be keeping an eye on Alabama, Texas A&M. I'll be covering Urban Meyer's return in anticipation of the game against Penn State next week. That's been quite a circus in itself. And, you know, just watching that top five. That top five is really hard to crack because those five teams, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, they just seem a cut above everybody else right now.
That they do. TCU is impressive, but we'll see what type of noise they can make. Bill, thanks so much for a few minutes. Great to get caught up. Fun story with the sporting news in Nebraska, Michigan 97. We'll talk again. Thanks again.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. And it is time to get caught up with Deb, the spa lady. Deb, a lot of Husker fans need some relaxation. You can help with that. A spa for a 2-0 or an 0-2 season. Don't you have one?
We sure do. And, you know, I think after today, aren't the temperatures supposed to drop, like, drastically? So I think a lot of people that have pools are getting ready to winterize those and close them up for the year. Well, with a swim spa, you can enjoy that year-round. You don't have to ever winterize it, close it up. Just keep on enjoying and relaxing and getting that great exercise.
Well, Deb, you've had it for everybody. If it's too hot and muggy, you can turn the temp down and really just refresh yourself temperature-wise in a home innovation spa. Or now, with the weather changing, it can be snowy and icy, and guess what? You can hang out in the hot tub outside and be super relaxed.
That's right. That really is something, you know, to be able to use those year-round. The spas, the swim spas, and that is the nice thing. You can adjust the temperature, and we always have aches and pains, so that's a year-round thing, but it's the heat and the temperature that we can change. So, yeah, come in and see us. We've got one size, I think, for just about anybody.
And you can find Deb, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln and Industrial Road in Omaha, Home Innovation Spas, spasonline.com. Deb, what else is going on? I know the fair's been done and gone for a little bit, but you got to have some fall specials for folks, don't you?
Yeah, but for us, the fair, once the fair is over, that really just begins everything. We are going all over now delivering spas. We were in Valentine today, so you can tell we go everywhere.
You and Johnny Cash been everywhere, you know, man.
We have been. Just
Valentine. Good work.
I know. It's crazy. But yeah, we deliver all over the state of Nebraska, some down into Kansas, over into Iowa. So we have a huge area that we cover, and we're making it happen.
Yes, you are, and you've been doing it for 25 years and counting. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. Deb, the spa lady, it's time to make that move for your fall and even into winter. Get that hot tub. Four-person swim spa, six-person. Deb, you go up to eight people, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We can get 8 to 10 person. We've got it all. We really, truly do. Just come and see us.
Well, do so. 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, off Industrial Road in Omaha, spasonline.com, Home Innovation Spas, Deb the Spa Lady. Deb, we'll have a good weekend of football, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, sounds great.
There you
Bye-bye.
Go. Take care. Valentine. It's way, way, way up there. So here is what the Golden Nugget has put out, Daniel Burke, Pride of Chicago. Casino Danny. This is for the college football playoff title game. We're already a fourth of the way through the college football season. Why not put a line out? Bama minus 9.5 over Ohio State. Bama minus 10.5 over Georgia. Bama minus 11.5 over Clemson. Bama minus 11.5 over Oklahoma. And, God, I'm on this TCU fixation. They aren't getting in. But wouldn't it be kind of fun to see TCU's speed and athleticism against Bama?
Yeah.
Eh.
I mean,
What's that whimper?
They just wouldn't put up a good fight, I don't think.
They weren't supposed to put up a good fight against Ohio State. Ohio State's elite. Bosa had surgery, too.
Yeah,
so.
And TCU still lost by 11. It was a good game, but I don't think that's the team I want to see in the playoffs as an exciting, fun, going-to-come-down-to-the-wire type of game. I mean, unless things change during the course of the season right now, no, not really. That's not who I want to see. That's just me, though.
You don't want to see who?
TCU. I don't care to see them in a playoff.
They won't be there.
Right.
Even if they beat Oklahoma, sorry.
Yeah. And I also think those lines will obviously get a lot more narrow when it comes down to it. They're not going to be that widespread, even if Alabama continues to dominate, which they'll get one loss in there, one very close game to a team that either they shouldn't or a decent team that's going to come down right at the wire.
They get Auburn and they get LSU at home this year.
That helps at home.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they could be an undefeated this year. I really do think Ohio State's good. I just wonder, from a Bosa standpoint, what's likely? I mean, he had surgery today, core muscle injury, no timetable. I mean, that was kind of awkward watching him point where he was pointing last Saturday night. He's walking off. So what's shaking here? Let's talk a little bit more about Nebraska and a little bit more about the task at hand in Michigan. And I'm wondering here with Nebraska, let's say it's Andrew Bunch. What do you get from Andrew? How much better will he and can he be if he's asked to do his job? Quarterback this team, what's he going to look like Saturday?
Andrew's going to keep getting better just like everybody else on our team. That was his first ever start. There was some good, there was some bad. He's got to keep improving like everybody else. The more reps he gets, the better he'll get.
Okay. More from Frosty. Hey, you get a chance to learn about your team. It's one thing to see how your guys react at home, but there's something to be said with, even though it is a country club atmosphere, taking on that crowd and then that Don Brown defense.
You know, there's so many little things that we have to make sure are right culturally. I remember when I first got here, Bill Moose talking to me about being on a road trip at the end of last year and getting off the plane and not ever in his life seeing a plane with so much trash left on the plane. Sounds like it shouldn't matter in the game. Those things matter because those are little things. When guys are attentive to do things right, little things are done right all the time, including in games. We have a lot of lessons to continue to teach them. I'm sure there's things that will come up on the road trip that we'll have to continue to teach them. But those things take a while, and it's a process, and we'll fix those as they come up. I'm more worried about getting the team as ready as they can be to play this game.
You know, this is just going to be one of those teaching seasons, and that pissed Bill Moose off to no end. Like, it's a pigsty, it's someone's plane, right? And you don't pick up your crap. You don't have enough respect for the plane that the supervision's not there either. You should be able to figure out yourself to pick up your trash. No one did. None of the coaches did it. I mean, he's just like, man, this is a microcosm of what's wrong. That's a year ago. We'll wind down a Thursday. If you missed any part of the show, great stuff from Gary Barnett, Bill Bender this hour. Danny and I chatted about Nebraska, what you'll see on Saturday that could be progress, some of those areas, short yarded special teams, dropped passes, late hits, holding calls. I mean, how clean can Nebraska be on Saturday? We know how clean they have to be, but how clean can they be? Almost as clean as Danny's new haircut. We'll wind down a Thursday next.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time on your Thursday, and big thanks to Gary Barnett, Bill Bender, Sporting News. If you're in Lincoln, you're bumping around, go check out the beer show with Nick and Rob coming up right at 6. That'll be great, out of Granite City, just off of 68th and O. So go do that. That sounds like a winner. Thirsty and good grub. Should be wrong. Danny, your wheels are turning.
Well, I just had a couple questions for you.
Sure.
One, what were you just dying laughing at, if you can say it?
No, that's fine. What do you think I'm watching here on my phone during commercial break?
I don't know, man. That's
you don't want to know. You cover your eyes a lot of times. So this is me. I'm going through Facebook. I'm kind of reposting some of our stuff from ESPN or from that's been sent out, so you can get it on different Husker sites.
Sure.
So what I was laughing about is there's a like some sort of pudding cake looking thing, and it's got 8 million views. Not quite as good as Tanner Farmer's commentary, but it's there. And it looks like they're chopping the front schnoz off of a.
Of a dog?
Of a puppy.
Yeah, that's like a month old at least, man.
Well, whatever, bro. It just showed up on my timeline.
Like the little pug, and you're like, what are they doing? And
then but there's either a inserted photo or it's real, because there's this black lab that walks behind two bodies right after the chop.
Yeah.
And the dog's mouth is wide open and the eyes are popping out of its head. And you're like, what the hell? I mean, the perfect. That's what I was rolling about, yeah. Because the dog's expression's super funny.
Yeah, no, that's a good video. You're a little late to the party on that one.
Hey, don't ask or yell at me for being late to the party on this. I'm just scrolling through right now.
Work. Fair enough. And then I also had another question. So we never got your answer about the Twitter poll.
I think Nebraska wins first.
Ooh. Even though you're repping the colors right now?
It's the last day of summer, allegedly, so I wanted to wear my orange polo one more time while I'm still very, very tanned and beautiful.
All right. Those are my high school colors. And orange.
See, and you still hate it.
Yeah, well, no one ever wore the colors.
You can't wear it well.
No.
All you can pull off is the Surrender Whites in the Bernie Kosar era.
Yep.
So that's what I was rolling about. That was pretty funny.
Right. Yeah, good stuff.
What do you got going tonight?
Ooh, tonight?
Hot tub party?
No hot tub parties tonight. I don't know.
We got to get you a hot tub from Deb so you can keep throwing these hot tub parties. You may have moved, but you still have the same contacts.
Yeah, I'm down, man. Just hook it up. Let's do it. I'll bring you over.
Your new zip code, though? I mean, will your female friends rolled to that part of town?
I
mean, you've got to have a car alarm now. So,
if I tell them that you're coming through,
they don't care. Who's a fat old man? Why does his wife keep calling? I don't know.
As long as you're paying the tab, they'll come.
Sure, that's the memo. That's how it usually works.
Right, but no, man, I'm just going to be watching the game tonight, hoping I'm winning my bets on the Browns tonight.
Yeah, well, good luck. God bless. That is Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago. Tomorrow, Bill Dolman, Derek Peterson, and Brandon Vogel from Michigan. Beer show is coming up right at 7. Rob and Nick and Rob get a pint. get some grub, get to Granite City. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Be good.